Well, it's good to see you all. I am going to talk about a class that I teach and use it as a case study to really talk about the incorporation of Web 2.0 applications in the online classroom. As everybody else, I have no financial relationships to disclose. And learning objectives for my presentation are here on this slide, but by the end of this presentation, you'll be able to describe the particular class I teach, which is PRS 501D, Technology Tools for Public Health, and then also articulate how Web 2.0 applications are incorporated into this course. Now, for those of you who are in the last session, my apologies, there's going to be one slide that's the same. The class that I'm going to talk about is part of the Career in PH program, and so I want to provide you with a little bit of context about that program. The CMPH program is the distance-based MPH that we offer at the Rollins School of Public Health in Atlanta at Emory University. It is a program for working professionals. We have three different tracks or areas of study: applied public health informatics, applied epidemiology, and then prevention science. The program is actually a blend of online and face-to-face. So unlike my colleagues from Alaska who do it all online, we actually are able to bring our students to the campus. Well, they pay for it, but they come to campus, I should watch how I say that, for a long weekend at the beginning and end of every semester. The 12 weeks in between are facilitated via Blackboard and the internet. Our program started a certificate in 1997. Became a full degree in 1999. And so this is the program in which the class PRS 501D Technology Tools in Public Health is taught and is offered. The class is a class that is required for all students in our prevention science track, and the course really provides an overview of a whole variety of different technology tools that are used to facilitate and enhance collaboration, communication, instruction, productivity, and social networking. And through the course of the 12 weeks of the class, students become really familiar with the different tools. They get hands-on practice using the tools, and they're really able to have a reflective opportunity to think about the usefulness of various tools in the practice of health education and behavioral sciences. The way I've organized the class, I have six different units. So we start with diffusion of innovations, and I'll talk in a little more detail about each of the units in a moment. And then I have a unit for each of the different kinds of technologies, so instructional, communication, collaboration, productivity, and social networking. Now, I admit up front that I've made some distinctions and I've tried to do some separation. It's not always so easy. Different technologies really fit into multiple buckets, so I have done a little bit of artificial separation here. For four of the units, the instructional, communication, collaboration, and productivity, I have further organized those individual units into a research it, a talk about it, and a do it component. So the research it component, what I've done is I provide the students with case scenarios. And they work on their case scenarios in small groups. So last summer I had a lot of students. So I had eight small groups. We had four case scenarios. So every case was worked on by two different groups. But I present a case, and then the students have to think about, well, what functionality might technology offer to address the situation that is presented in whatever the case is. And I really get them to think about functionality first, because the thing students really want to do is jump to it and say, oh, I've used, you know, text messaging, or I've used this. It's like, no, let's stop and think about functionality. Then once they've thought through functionality, they come up with a list of, well, what possible technologies might be used to address whatever's being discussed in the scenario. And then once they've got sort of a list of the menu of what might be used, they have to focus down and come up with a specific solution, and then they have to justify why they selected that particular solution. So what I have at the bottom of this slide is actually an example of one of the communication case scenarios that I no longer use. But if you work at a university where train tracks run through the campus, one day there's a train derailment that results in a toxic chemical spill, you need to inform the university campus of the incident. So they're real basic, they're not long involved kinds of scenarios. And the students have four of these different kind of scenarios that they have to work through. Well, another component of this research piece is that, remember, this is a class all about technology, is I have the students collaborate in their small groups using different technologies. So they have four scenarios they have to work through. One of them they do at the opening on-campus weekend, and so they do that face-to-face. If they don't finish their discussion by the time they leave campus, then they use real-time technologies, whether it's conference call or text messaging or, you know, Skype, whatever they want to use. The other three scenarios, they have to collaborate within their small group using a wiki for one of them, using Yammer, which is a Facebook-like technology for one of them, and using Twitter for the fourth one. And then in addition to solving the actual scenario, I also have the students reflect on what was it like to use this technology to collaborate. So there's a lot of reflection that happens in the class. So that's the research it part. The talk about it part of those four units is that the students are responsible for reading and discussing each other's group summaries. And we have great dialogue about the different scenarios. One thing that was fun this past summer is because I had such a large class and I had two groups working on each scenario, I mean, I set parameters of how many scenarios they have to respond to, but it was interesting to see if groups came up with the same solution for their scenario, for those that were working on the same scenario. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. And then the do-it component is the opportunity for students to have real hands-on practice with individual technologies. And as I go through the units, I'll talk in more detail about these different do-it assignments. But the students, you know, they blog, so they keep an e-journal. They create an audio podcast. I have them on Twitter, not just as a collaborative tool, but also as a communication tool following a public health leader. They do a productivity assignment. So there are all kinds of, as I said, hands-on opportunities that they have. So I'll tell you a little bit about the different units and walk you through them. So we start with unit one and talk about diffusion of innovation. And this is really one of the sort of underlying principles of the class, is looking at Everett Rogers' diffusion of innovation. So we'll talk about the characteristics of innovations, innovation decision process, and adopter categories. And an exercise that I have them do both at the beginning of the course and the end of the course is I put up the different adopter categories around the room similar to this, and I have the students think about their own use of technology both in their personal life and their professional life, and I have them go sort of plot themselves of where they fall in the different adopter categories. We do it at the beginning of the semester. We document what they said at the beginning of the semester, and then at the end of the semester, they do it again. And it's a really interesting discussion to see who has stayed the same, who has moved, you know, up towards innovator or down towards laggard. So it's a fun conversation, and why do they think those things have happened. So in Unit 2 is where we start really doing a lot of exploration of technologies. And these are some of the technologies that get explored in the instructional umbrella, you know, personal response systems and clickers, podcasts, different presentation software, simulations and games, virtual environments, web-based course management. One of the things to me that's really fun about this class, it's also the challenge of the class, is this is not a class you can let be stagnant. I have to look at it every single year because there are new things that come up, and in fact, MOOCs is one of the things that we didn't talk about last year. Wasn't in people's frame of reference like it is this year. So massive open online courses was something that got talked about this year, which was a new addition. The do-it assignment for this particular unit is the students create an audio podcast on a public health topic of their choice. And then those podcasts are uploaded into Emory's iTunes U as a class album. We've got a class album. And then everybody gets to listen to what everybody else recorded. And so that's kind of a fun thing to learn from each other as well, along with learning how to do the audio podcast. For communication technologies, you know, a lot of these are technologies that the students use day in and day out, being distance-based students, the discussion boards and email and listserv and for communication technology, there are some of the technologies they explore. And then the communication do-it assignment really happens throughout the course of the semester. They keep an e-journal and they blog throughout the semester. We use WordPress to do that. And the students have a posting to the e-journal at the very beginning of the semester before they get going to sort of sort of take a snapshot in time of sort of what they think about technology at the beginning. For every unit they post, and then there's some other things they post. There's a reflection piece at the end that they post, and I'll tell you a little bit about the Twitter assignment and they post there. But it's a place where they are able to continually reflect throughout the semester. They're encouraged to look at each other's posts and interact with each other on the blog. For collaboration, you see some of the technologies we explored here. Wikis was certainly one of the biggies that they use, web and video conferencing, other web-based workspaces. And the Do-It assignment really is how they collaborated in solving their small group assignments. If you recall, I told you that they had four case scenarios that they have to solve, and one of them was done in real time, one of them was done using Yammer, this sort of Facebook look-alike technology, one used Twitter, and then one used the wikis within Blackboard. So they're collaborating throughout. And then productivity, there's so many different technologies the students could be exposed to with productivity and related to productivity. The assignment here is I gave them four different options and they had to pick one of these four assignments. So one of them was, and if they had previously done any of them, they couldn't pick that one. So one of the options for them was they create a personal homepage. I used to have one on iGoogle, and then Google got rid of iGoogle, but either using My Yahoo or any number of the other personalized homepage technologies, they would create, think about sort of, well, what kind of access do I need on a day-to-day basis? Where, what would I want to put on a homepage for myself? You know, people who never used RSS feeds were asked to subscribe to three RSS feeds, follow them for a couple of weeks, and then, again, it's always reflection to these. To-do lists was another one, so people could pick a software. The two I've got up here with their icons are Evernote and Remember the Milk, but I asked them to sort of create a week's worth of to-dos, and they could make it up. I didn't care. Just to get used to using that technology and thinking about how they would incorporate that technology in their professional life. And then Pinterest was the fourth one. And with that, the students who selected that were asked to go look at Pinterest and see what kind of public health information was out there already, and then they all had to create their own Pinterest board. And then finally, our last unit was about social networking, and then I threw a few other things in the mix there. And the assignments, the hands-on assignments that they did for this final unit was one, they did a follow the leader via Twitter. So at the beginning of the semester, all the students had to pick a public health leader. They either picked a person or they picked an organization, and they followed that person or organization for the semester on Twitter. I guess I should say, I had to pick somebody that tweeted. And at various points in the semester, I asked them to give me some information. So at mid-semester, you know, it was some of the things about logistics of how often is the person tweeting, what kinds of things are they tweeting, what are three things you've learned from following the tweets. At the end of the semester, they added some more things that they had learned, but then also talked about, well, what do you think of using this technology in a professional setting? What do you think would work well? What do you think wouldn't work well? Do you think you'll do it? So that was one assignment here. Another assignment is I had the students create an electronic portfolio. They could use any software that they wanted. What I had suggested they use was something that I've used before called Visual CV. And what I asked the students to do is to create a portfolio that sort of outlined their skills and talents as a public health professional. I wanted it to include typical resume information, a photo of themselves. They needed to include some work products, so it could be papers or reports or presentations. Those needed to be included as well. And then the final Do-It assignment is a personal toolbox. And this was something they posted to their blog, but I asked them to reflect back on the semester. We had just gone through 12 weeks of exploring all kinds of technologies in all kinds of contexts. And I asked the students to think about, you know, right now, what are the technology tools you would keep in your toolbox related to instruction, collaboration, communication, social networking, and productivity? And as I've mentioned several times, there was reflection throughout. So things like, what did you like about the technology? What didn't you like? You know, how are you going to use this in the future? Do you think there is a role for this technology in the future or in professional settings? So the students were always thinking about how they might or others might incorporate the various technologies in their own practice. And then I thought I would just end with a couple of quotes from the students. This is from the last time I taught the class this past summer. So you'll see, you know, the student that talks about having, they feel like they've been enhanced as a public health professional. Somebody talks about creating the podcast and that it really is a beneficial and portable skill to take into the future. They're much more savvy with technology. You know, somebody also comments that not only do we get to learn about new useful technologies, but we also shared our thoughts with our colleagues. So it was that collaborative piece amongst each other and that reflection piece that they really liked. You know, the last one is talking about the class being an eye-opening experience, and it really helped them reframe their thoughts about technology and recent innovations. And with that, I'll take questions if we have time.
I have a question about how you balance the student's comfortability with technology. I know that I often make the assumption that students are comfortable with it, and they use this all the time in their daily lives, and but what I sometimes find is that they're actually uncomfortable with a lot of these technologies. So how do you balance that? Your course, this is a great course, by the way. I think
faculty
could benefit from it as well.
It's a fun class to be involved with. Well, and I'm going to even go one step further. I'm the chair of a program that's a distance learning program, so you would really think students were comfortable with technology, and there are some students that really aren't, even though that's, you know, the way they've chosen to get their MPH degree. You know, what I have done is a lot of it is self-directed in terms of a lot of the things the students explore. It's through the course of looking through those scenarios and trying to come up with the solutions for their scenarios and going and exploring what's out there. So people, I think, do take some tentative steps, and people, you know, go leaping. So I have both kinds of students. In terms of the Do-It assignments, for some of them, I have provided very clear instructions on how to get started with the technologies. I'm a health educator. I know how to write instructional materials and teach people how to, you know, use some of these technologies. For other things, I made the conscious decision not to. And I told the students that up front. And I said, you know, I'm going to tell you some of the things, but some of the things I'm not going to tell you because guess what? There's a lot of technology out there, and you got to figure it out. We all have to figure it out. And I will say, midterm evaluation, students can post feedback, anonymous feedback, and I know exactly who the student is because she had an issue with me the semester before when I taught her, but there was a student who anonymously posted it. She really wished I'd given more hands-on instruction. And I know, I mean, I know there were students that thought that, and my response back to them was, I appreciate that comment, but it's okay to be tentative and to sort of roll your sleeves up and give it a try, and if it doesn't work at first, then you try it again and you'll work it through. I'm not going to spoon feed you everything. So some stuff I chose to, some stuff I didn't, and it was a very conscious decision. It's a mandatory course for all the students who are in the prevention science track.
And the second
one is, well, I'll answer it a couple of different ways. My program employs 4 instructional designers, and so I have instructional designers that work with the faculty in the development of their courses. Now, most faculty don't use all this stuff. Most faculty use this much of this stuff, but the instructional designers are one way of helping the faculty sort of realize what they are going to use in their classes. If you ask the question of how does Moose Alperin get comfortable and up to speed on all of this stuff, I talk to colleagues, I, you know, I scour the web. You know, at the end of the semester, I had a couple people come be guest speakers, and one of them, oh my gosh, he talked about all kinds of technologies I knew nothing about, and so I've already sort of put it on my calendar. I'm talking to him before class next semester and going to pick his brain about some things that might be worth. And part of what's fun to me about teaching the class is I know there are many times where I'm just too busy to explore what's out there, and because I'm the instructor for this class, it sort of gives me permission to be able to go out and explore.